Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, as you know, if you've been watching the news just for the last couple of weeks, there are a number of state legislatures in Georgia, North Carolina, and Mississippi that have been busy in the last couple of days responding to concerns that the rights of business owners, organizations, and individuals are being subjected to leftist intolerance. So we see this this effort by these legislatures of these different states to prop up religious liberty. And there's an interesting article out in the, what's called the Patriots Post. Their website is www.patriotpost.us. That's Patriot Post, all one word, .us. And in that article, Robin Smith writes about religious liberty in an age of immorality. And he talks about, gives a brief explanation of these three different cases in Georgia, North Carolina, and Mississippi, and then talks about, you know, what's taking place and who has the responsibility for morality in our society today. Well, we wanted to talk about this issue, the issue of religious liberty in an age of immorality, with Dr. Greg Frazier, who is the professor of history and political studies at the Masters College. Their website is www.masters.edu. He's been with us numerous times on the program before, but we want to talk about this particular issue on the program today. Dr. Frazier, it's a pleasure to have you back on the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Thank you, Kevin. Good to be here.
Well, Dr. Frazier, let's walk through this article a little bit. Maybe you could give us a little bit of a summary of some of these cases that have taken place, and then maybe from there we can talk about some of the implications.
Yeah, of course, the issue that states are concerned about, and by the way, it's worth noting that all three of these states are southern states.
Mm-hmm.
Because the South tends to be more concerned about these kinds of things, or at least have enough support in their state legislatures to do something about it. But, of course, the concern is that Christians are, frankly, Christians are the only group of people that are forced to participate in someone else's expression of their rights. And in this case, referring specifically to homosexuals and the LGBT community in general. And it's not enough, it seems, for homosexuals and the LGBT community to have rights, to have those recognized by the courts, etc., but they want to try and force people who disagree with them on a religious basis to not only recognize their rights, but to participate in their expression of rights. And so that's what's, I think, really at the core here of what these states are trying to do, is protect believers who, on religious grounds, object to participating in particularly, for example, a same-sex marriage. And so, the claim on their side is that these are discriminatory, but they don't allow someone. Let's take the example that we had of a baker who didn't want to bake a cake for a same-sex wedding. Mm. It wouldn't allow the baker to not serve a homosexual who came into their shop. And in fact, the baker involved in the other case did serve homosexuals without discrimination. It just allows them to refuse to affirm a same-sex marriage, to do extra, to be creative and to participate in a particular ceremony. And these state legislatures who are trying to do this, of course, are getting a lot of pushback. So
mm-hmm. It appears that this is all part of the new tolerance And which is ironic because these groups, the LGBT, I think there's even more letters in here now, but anyways, this community has, you know, started off with the subject of tolerance and how everybody should just live and let live and be accepting of the fact that they have chosen to live this way and don't persecute them in any way and allow them to live, which is exactly correct and what Christians basically do. But now it seems in this new tolerance, they're basically saying not only should this be allowed, but you must embrace it. And if you don't embrace it, what we're doing and what we're saying, then you're being discriminatory, and that we're going to then discriminate against you, and we have a right to discriminate against you because of you doing this awful thing to us. Is that a fair estimation?
Yeah, very much so. And I've warned about this for 15 or so years here at the college. Actually, about 15 years ago, they asked me to do a presentation here about same-sex marriage and the possibility that it could happen, and homosexuality, homosexual movement, and so forth. And what I told them 15 years ago, and it's now come to pass, is that it won't be satisfactory just to recognize people's rights or to tolerate them, but what will be demanded is affirmation. And that's what we're now seeing. That's what's behind it all is you have to affirm them, not just tolerate them, not just recognize that they have rights to do things that we disapprove of, which of course we agree in America that people do have rights to do things we disagree with. But Christians have rights to do things that they disagree with as well. And the other thing that I think is really important here is there is no right to marry in the Constitution. There's no right to sexual preference in the Constitution. But in the Constitution, there is free exercise of religion. So we're the ones who are actually are expressing a constitutional right as opposed to just sort of a generic right that is claimed.
Mm-hmm. And when you pointed out about affirmation, in these cases, especially the one that you listed there with making the cake, the bakers are completely find it acceptable to bake a cake for anybody who walks through the doors who wants one. The thing that in these cases is with the photography, with the baker and so forth, renting of the hall and so forth, they feel that they have crossed a line from just allowing someone to be this way to affirming that they're this way. The cake would be used in a formal celebration that would be celebrating this type of lifestyle and so forth. And so there's the real key, right, that they feel that they would be some way forced to affirm what their religious conviction does not allow them to affirm, and there's where the rub is.
Right, and as I say, and Christians actually have a constitutional right to do what they are doing or to not do what they don't want to do. Requirement to participate in someone else's expression of a right is what really intrigues me, the idea that people think that this is valid. For example, if we put the shoe on the other foot, can you imagine a homosexual publisher being required, being forced by law to print sermons critical of homosexuality?
Hmm.
You can't imagine that happening. Or a black business owner being forced to cater to a KKK rally.
Hmm.
Or, a Jewish publisher being forced to print Nazi materials. I mean, you just can't imagine anyone saying or suggesting that those things had to happen. They would just say, okay, find a different publisher, find a different caterer, et cetera, and so forth. But with the Christian community, somehow we can be targeted and we can have no accommodations. That's the other thing, too, is that our society is filled in the business world with accommodations
mm-hmm.
of people who have dietary restrictions, as Robin Smith points out in the article, those who have dietary restrictions, for example, of kosher or some type of Islamic restrictions, businesses regularly accommodate them. But for some reason, Christians can't be accommodated with their concerns, which are, again, rooted in a constitutional right.
Mm-hmm. Now, some of the ways that the president and others have gotten around this issue, the issue being that you can tell Christians to go ahead, they have to do this. One of the ways is they make a difference between freedom of religion versus the free exercise of that religion. So they're basically saying, you know, you can hold whatever view you want to hold inside the four walls of your church, but you can't take those views out into society and actually live by those views. If you do that, we're going to punish you. Is that correct?
It's correct that they hold that view. It's the view itself is very incorrect.
Right.
You know, there are two clauses concerning freedom of religion in the First Amendment. The first one is called the Establishment Clause, and that's the one that says that you can believe what you want. The government can't establish an official religion and make you go to the services or pay tax money in support of it and so on. You're free to believe what you want. But the second clause, the Free Exercise Clause, is that you are free to exercise your religious beliefs. And it's not for the government to determine what your religious beliefs are or what your exercise is. You are free to exercise the religious beliefs that you hold. Now, obviously, there are limitations. There are limitations on every single constitutional right. So if you're a Baal worshiper, you're not free to sacrifice children to Baal, etc. But within reasonable limitations, which, by the way, are spelled out, by law, down through the years, you have free exercise of religion. So it's not just that you can believe what you want, but you are free to exercise your beliefs as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, added to this issue, then, is the coercion part of it. In this article, further on, just right after where I stopped reading early on in the opening paragraphs, it says this: the Rainbow Mafia seeks to force everyone to condone their beliefs regarding sex and same-sex marriage, even if those beliefs are in conflict with one's own religious teaching, through a forcible participation of a transaction or delivery of the service that could be seen or as a demonstration of support. Well, that part I'm zeroing in on is the what he refers to here as the Rainbow Mafia. And further on down in the article, they talk about how these couple of these state leaders, the governors and so forth, have capitulated, and they've capitulated because tremendous amount of pressure, financial pressure, has been put on them by people like Apple and Disney and the NFL and all of these other places that say, you will do this, and if you don't do this, then we will pull our resources from you, and we'll punish you financially. Even the federal government threatening to deny certain federal funds unless these states go along with this agenda.
Yeah, and I think actually, you know, the term Rainbow Mafia sounds a bit loaded, but I think it actually is pretty apt. I was looking up again in the Oxford English Dictionary, the definitive dictionary of the English language, I was looking up the word racketeering again. It says the practice or business of organized crime aimed at extorting money by intimidation and violence. Well, in this case, they're not extorting money necessarily, but they are extorting compliance and participation by threats of intimidation. And so I think there's really sort of a racketeering element to this. You will do what we want you to do in the case of businesses, or we will punish you financially. Or in the case of the government, obviously they carry the big stick of government and the iron fist, so to speak. Robin Smith in the article points out the hypocrisy also in this arena, because Apple has lots of business in China, which is, of course, famous for its human rights violations. And Disney and Apple both are in the Middle East, where they not only don't support same-sex marriage and participate in it, but they actually throw accused homosexuals off of buildings and execute them. And so there's a lot of hypocrisy going on here as well in terms of these businesses who are trying to force a particular point of view. He also points to San Francisco's Mayor Ed Lee. You know, San Francisco is a sanctuary city that ignores federal immigration laws. So apparently some laws are okay to be ignored completely. And so why is it that these laws are have to be vigorously not only enforced, but go beyond what the law requires to demand participation, not just tolerance?
You know, I think that this is one way that progress could be made in the civil arena on these issues, is to show people the, first of all, the hypocrisy, as you just pointed out, with groups like Disney and Apple and so forth, but also to broaden it out to the idea of liberty and to show that they have selective liberty. They allow liberty for their causes, but not for things that they don't agree with. And when we do that, I think that we are able to win the case in the marketplace of ideas, where there will be other people who aren't necessarily even believers, who will just say, you know, that point right there is something that I'm against. They shouldn't be allowed to coerce people financially with their into their system. They should be more allowing of other people to hold alternate viewpoints. Do you agree?
Yes, and it's an issue of fundamental fairness, and I think most people, if they were presented with it, of course, it isn't often presented this way, but if they were presented with the facts, I think most people would see it as an issue of fundamental fairness and double standard on the other side. And of course, people need to comply with the law, but the law doesn't go as far and demand as much as is demanded by these by this rainbow mafia, as the author puts it. And it also gets to the fundamental issue of, as you mentioned in your introduction, it gets to the fundamental issue of who is the source or determiner of morality. The left wants to shift that to the government. They want the government, as they want the government to do everything. They also want the government to be the arbitrator of morality, and that's, of course, not what the Constitution is about either. That's what the First Amendment is about, protecting freedom of religion, freedom of conscience, and free exercise of religion. And as we talked about the very first time that I was on your program, we talked about my book that I wrote on the religious beliefs of America's founders. For them, the critical element for religion was that it be in the public square because we need morality. And they believed that religion was the appropriate and best place to find morality and to determine morality, not the government, certainly.
Yeah, that's interesting. And he after he had taken these companies to task in the article, and then also, I think it's a he, is that Robin, could be either way, but anyways, the author of the article then is saying, takes the Republicans to task and says, why is it difficult to establish that liberties of both those with and without faith must be protected? You know, they should be doing both of those. And then it brings out the point that you just mentioned. It says this in the article. Finally, a few thoughts for those writing these pieces of legislation. What is the role of government on this issue? Clearly, the balance of rights is critical. Without the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, yet diminishing one's hallowed belief to pacify a political agenda or to receive financial gain exposes the corrupt nature of the very institution of government meant to defend the supreme law of the land or the Constitution. Later on down at the end, to your point, more specifically, the author says this, James Adams once said, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other." And it says in the article then that he was not only conferring the role of morality nor religion to our government, instead, Adams' truth observed the very limited form of government with enumerated powers would be adequate only for a people governed by a moral compass. Well, that tells me, Dr. Frazier, that although the government has certain responsibilities that they should be doing here, and things that they're not doing that we just discussed, doing properly anyways, the church has a responsibility, and that is this responsibility to speak to people about the moral issues and to deal with the morality of the country. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. And as I said, that's what not only John Adams, but virtually all of the framers and founders believed, is that religion was the source of morality, that basically all religions taught morality, and that was the value of religion for them in a free society. And it was a critical thing. And this is part of sort of the unintended consequences, or intended maybe on some parts, of this whole wall of separation notion and the idea of removing religion from the public square. What we've gone from is a situation in which the government protects religion and people's religious beliefs in order to develop and to affirm and to uphold morality in a free society, to trying to remove religion from the public square, and now sort of reinserting a form of religion in the public square, but a form of religion determined by and defined by the government. Mm. And so we see this in other cases as well. Some of the cases like Little Sisters of the Poor concerning Obamacare and so forth, where the government now is trying to define what counts as religious expression. Mm-hmm. And this is just totally foreign to what the country was based upon and what was considered to be correct up until even 10, 20 years ago. And we should also remember it was just 2 years ago that President Obama and Hillary Clinton both were advocates of marriage has to be between a man and a woman, mm-hmm. and were opponents of same-sex marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And so the speed with which this has moved and the outrageous and shocking nature of this development is really pretty astounding. I mean I expected it to come, but the speed at which it's happened, it shows you how dangerous it can be when the government gets in the business of essentially running religion. What they're essentially doing is what the Establishment Clause was set up to prevent, and what their whole wall of separation notion is supposed to prevent,
mm-hmm.
which is the government making religious determinations. But that's in fact what they're doing.
You know, I think of that every time I hear the president say, "This is not who we are," or "That's not who we are." And when he says that, I'm thinking, well, we're not who you think we are either. You know, you're trying to define and redefine who the American people are, and you keep holding us up to that standard of what you have defined as being right and wrong. But you're supposed to be protecting the genuine expression of the faith of the American citizens, as the article says, rather than trying to define and redefine them. I think when this happens, when the immorality then in our society raises to this point, what we end up seeing is a lot of this coercion taking place and a more tyrannical government that now tries to force people to do what they want them to do. We have 1 minute left. Let me let you have the final word on that.
Yeah, and I think this is the real danger, and it's a real danger for the future of religious liberty. I argue again in my book that one of the implications of what's been the whole wall of separation notion is a denial of religious liberty. And now we see it kind of coming full circle, where you deny religious liberty by saying there's a wall of separation and religion can't be in the public square at all, and that's now morphed into, there's a wall of separation, keeping religion out of the public square, except for when the government defines religion and religious matters. And then the government's perspective on religion trumps everything else, and you can be forced to comply with it, which is, you know, it's the exact opposite of what the Establishment Clause was designed to set up. So we're moving into a very difficult time, and Christians in America, for virtually the first time, may actually have to suffer America.
You're absolutely right.
Christians have had to suffer in other countries.
Thank you so much, Dr. Frazier. We really appreciate it.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.